Good evening, I'm Christian Esguera, and welcome to this episode of After the Fact, where we get to see things more clearly, where we get a better sense of the truth. So let's begin by dissecting the news. Judges of the International Criminal Court have approved a formal investigation into President Rodrigo Duterte's drug war, a bloody campaign that has killed thousands of people. The investigation will also cover similar killings in Davao City from November 11, 2011, until Duterte was elected president in 2016. Duterte's spokesman played down this important development at the ICC, insisting it won't move since his administration would not cooperate. But can a government's refusal to cooperate in fact stall an ICC investigation? Or will it only bring more harm than good for the likes of Duterte? Now, be part of our discussion. Send us your questions and comments on our YouTube live chat or tweet us using the hashtag ANC After the Fact. Joining us tonight is Commissioner Karen Dumpit of the Commission on Human Rights. Also with us is Attorney Nery Colmenares. He's the lawyer of some of the families of the victims of Duterte's bloody drug war. Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight, Commissioner Dumpit and Attorney Nery Colmenares.
Good evening, Ken. Good evening, Commissioner Karen.
Good evening, Sir Nery.
Okay, I'll start with Commissioner Karen Dumpit. Is this a valid excuse? Does Malacanang have a point here that if they do not cooperate in this upcoming ICC formal investigation, nothing would happen?
Well, ICC won't go away. The process is moving. We've seen already the decision of the pretrial chamber to open the investigation. So even the Supreme Court, in their more recent rulings, have said that even while we have withdrawn from the Rome Statute, it does not discharge a state party of its obligation the obligation it has incurred when it was still a state party to the Rome Statute. So they cannot wish this away. They have to confront the issue. And if they want the ICC to go away, they have to prosecute, they have to investigate, they have to prosecute, they have to produce results. They have to stop the campaign as well. They have not the campaign itself, but the policy. The policy that fuels the killing of this anti-drug campaign.
Wait, are you also saying that it's not yet too late for the administration to correct the course?
Yes.
By doing all those things, this could actually prevent prosecution later on at the ICC?
Yes, I think the chair said as much, no? It's never too late. But also remember that the ICC is a complementary mechanism. There's complementarity. And the reason why ICC is kicking in is because they don't see that the government is willing and able to address the impunity of the killings, no? And right now, if we show that the domestic accountability mechanisms may still work, and if it will proceed, then maybe this process can be stalled or truncated. I don't know if Sir Nery will say as much, but we believe that it's never too late. But again, let me just stress the point that ICC does not replace the justice system in the country. It can be used as a springboard to ignite, to crank the mechanisms domestically so that we can exact accountability for the killings in this drug war.
Okay, Attorney Colmenares, your thoughts on this? Because basically we've been hearing the same argument or defense from those coming from Malacanang, from the likes of Chief Presidential Legal Counsel Salvador Panelo, and of course Secretary Harry Roque. So without the cooperation, nothing would happen.
I admire Commissioner Dumpit for her belief that President Duterte will abandon the policy. Well, we hope, all of us will probably hope that. However, the problem here of the Duterte administration is that in the first place, it's been 5 years. And under the ICC, an inordinate delay is proof of inability or unwillingness to prosecute. It's been 5 years. After all the thousands of killings, and they just submitted the report to the DOJ That is actually a fatal admission on the part of President Duterte that there was no serious investigation at all in the last 5 years. The second problem there is that President Duterte will remain to claim his presidential immunity. That's why I think nanloloko ang gobyerno if they say to the victims, why file there? Why not file here? When they know that if the victims file in the Philippine justice system, it will be dismissed because President Duterte claims to be immune from suit. So there's no way he can get away with it. He even wants to run for the vice presidency just to maintain his supposed immunity. So I think for me, well, it's good to hope that if only to save lives, but I doubt if he can still avoid the trial in this case because of his pronouncement. In any case, his argument has always been the same, that there you have no jurisdiction, etc. And it has been clearly lost that battle. Eh. In fact, the fact that they do not want the ICC to investigate, in fact, proves to the ICC that they will not investigate the local crimes here. If they're not going to allow the ICC to investigate, the more reason that they will not allow ordinary families of the victims to be able to have a credible investigation and prosecution here.
Okay, sige. Pag-usapan natin yung eksaktong mangyayari. For instance, the declaration from Malacañang was that they won't allow the investigators to come here to the Philippines to get data, to collect information. Assuming, or in the likelihood, that the government of the Philippines would indeed do that, what would happen to the investigation? Can the Philippine government argue that, how can we participate? How can you come up with a credible investigation when in fact we didn't participate? So that is one-sided from the very beginning.
Actually not, Christian, because now with the investigation, first, any non-cooperation of an accused or a respondent will not stop the investigation. In fact, the ICC expects the respondent or the accused not to cooperate. That's the normal thing. There have been instances like in Sudan. Al-Bashir, when he was president of Sudan, refused to recognize the jurisdiction of ICC. Where is Al-Bashir now? He is in prison and about to be transferred to the ICC. So it will not hold water. The ICC can still investigate via online, for example, online meetings like this, where the witnesses can testify. Documents can be sent through courier to the ICC. The ICC can call witnesses to even go to The Hague to testify. Secondly, the ICC at this stage of investigation will inform the president of the complaints called communication. They will also provide the president, these are the allegations and the evidence. What is your answer? As if not akin to a counter affidavit. So they will be given the opportunity to They will be given the opportunity to present their evidence, so they cannot claim one-sidedness here. So there have been many experiences on the part of the ICC where the accused or the state or the government did not cooperate, but the ICC investigation continued and trial ensued. And in fact, there were people who were convicted even if they initially did not cooperate with the ICC.
To ensure there's no escaping this process at the ICC, at least the level of the formal investigation. I'd like to go to Commissioner Dumpit. How about the Commission on Human Rights? You are an independent body. Will you cooperate with the ICC investigation?
Well, before I answer that, let me just add, kay Sir Neri, the ICC now does open source investigations. That means that there is already precedent in using social media evidence. In addition to like Zoom meetings like this and all, in international criminal prosecutions. So if we take a look at one particular case, in a warrant of arrest that was issued, I think in 2017 of the ICC, Al-Werfali case, I think is that. No? And then there is also what you call the 2020 Berkeley Protocol on Digital Open Source Investigations that was produced by the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. But the important thing here is it already allows the use of digital evidence and evidence from social media. So that's very important, diba? And human rights investigations are increasingly relying upon open source intelligence to identify, document, and verify human rights atrocities. So Having said that, I think the chair in our deliberations this morning in the House of Representatives, I was there also, we have not been formally requested by the ICC. But as a national human rights institution, we are always mandated to cooperate with anyone who wants to seek information. Our cooperation, we are open to that, and we will wait.
So even if the administration refuses the physical entry of the investigators to the Philippines, the CHR can always be contacted by people from the ICC through other means, right?
Yes, through other means.
Was the CHR also contacted during the level of the preliminary examination?
No, to my knowledge, no. We were not contacted by the ICC.
So the CHR had no input whatsoever during that stage?
No, no input that I know of, none. What I know is that, of course, there was mention in the prosecutor's submission before the pretrial chamber, there may be cases that we have also investigated, but there was really not, there was no input to my knowledge, none. And there was no formal request from the prosecutor then until now. Maybe tomorrow there will be.
Okay. But was there submission coming from the CHR?
No.
Of any information to the ICC regarding this?
And not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. Attorney Neri, again, how many victims are you representing in this ICC information that was submitted?
Seven victims for us.
Seven families representing seven victims, right? Have they been formally contacted by the ICC at any stage to get more information about the cases?
Well, the contact stage is with regards to the submission of the families. There is this stage before the decision of the pretrial chamber, wherein all interested parties are asked, do you want the investigation to continue? So the ICC publish it in their website, and then with all the families and the victims, the survivors, can submit their submission there. So that's the only contact in that sense. Because the ICC, it's not even the prosecutor's office, it's the Victims Reparation Unit, VPRS, Victims Protection and Reparation Section. So their intent there is just to merely get the opinions of victims on whether or not the investigation should be pursued. So no at all in that sense, other than that.
But during the formal investigation, is the ICC prosecutor's office expected to get more information from your clients, for instance, yes, from the victims?
Definitely, Christian, because in this stage, first, we should inform the prosecutor, the pretrial chamber for that matter, that the our clients, for example, if they are willing to participate in case of a trial, they will be asked that. So that's because the ICC do not want to call witnesses who did not agree to participate, because that could endanger their lives. Secondly, we will be, if the ICC will deem it necessary, we will be asked to testify, to submit our testimonies or any document during the investigation stage. So I expect there will be more interaction with the ICC during the investigation stage, in the sense that for them to complete their investigation, they need now to directly ask both sides, the victims and the complainants, and of course, President Duterte and his witnesses and lawyers will be asked by the ICC as to what their comment is with regards to the situation on crimes against humanity.
As a matter of procedure, as a matter of due process, would it be better for the Duterte administration to send lawyers to formally answer questions raised during the investigation period instead of ignoring them?
Yes, Christian, my unsolicited advice to the lawyers of President Duterte is to abandon their legal strategy. They insisted on that when the victims filed the case in the ICC. They said, why file there? Why not file here? But the prosecutor persisted and launched a preliminary examination. They lost that round. Then they said, we will withdraw. So you don't have jurisdiction. But then the prosecutor, despite the withdrawal, said, I'm going to recommend a formal investigation to the pretrial chamber. So they lost that round again. In the pretrial chamber, they said, the pretrial chamber should not allow the investigation because we have no jurisdiction, the usual arguments. But then the pretrial chamber just decided yesterday that the investigation should they've been losing round after round because of their absurd argument that their best defense is to deny the reality that the ICC process is going to continue. And if they persist in this legal strategy, for me, I think I'm very confident there will be a trial and President Duterte will be convicted in that trial.
Basically, that's a free legal advice from you. As one of the lawyers of some of the victims. Anyway, I'd like to ask Commissioner Dumpit, you sounded still a bit optimistic at the start of this interview that things would change. But have things actually changed for the better, even a bit, let's say over the past year, since the promises were made by the interagency panel, when certain promises were made by the new PNP chief in terms of cooperation and providing better access to drug files? Nangyari ba yun?
Let me put it this way. There are more conversations now, there are more discussions now, but whether this has actually resulted in full transparency, no. In full cooperation, no. We still have not had a copy of the high-level panel's investigation, wala pa, but there are discussions. Now, these are steps, baby steps, that we hope will widen into full cooperation. Kasi, you know, at the end of the day, ICC is still a mechanism that does not replace the domestic accountability mechanisms. So it will still be best to have the domestic accountability mechanisms working. No? At the end of the day, that's the nearest to the victims. Eh? But it does not mean that ICC will not proceed and all that. No? Maganda nga sabay, di ba? Pero the only way they can stave this off is to investigate properly, to ensure that there are results on the ground, there are successful prosecutions, and there is time served for those who are proved to be, you know, responsible for all these killings. But just to say, Sir Neri, siguro ano lang to, no? This is just my opinion also, that the reason why then the executive is going ahead is because where is the check and balance also over the years? Where is the check and balance? We have three petitions questioning the source of the policy, which is the Tokhang policy, no? Yeah. But until now, the Supreme Court has not decided on it. The Supreme Court has ordered government to give the drug war data to the petitioners, but then the petitioners saw that this was not in proper format. The CDs were not readable. There is, I believe, still a pending motion to direct government to send them proper formats para makita yung records, pero hanggang ngayon hindi pa na didesisyonan, no? So I think what is wrong is really the check and balance mechanisms in our country. There has to be someone to actually tell government, the institutions, stronger institutions, to tell government, look, you've been doing this, it's a policy of killing. You should stop. You should make the people accountable, the people responsible for it.
Okay, let's also address one of these basic arguments raised by people from the administration. Sinasabi nila, how can people like you say that the justice system in the Philippines is not working when in fact the victims, their families just have to approach the law enforcers, file cases, but there have to be witnesses. Can you talk to us how difficult that is under the current scenario? For example, you are a relative of someone who was killed point blank by the police, for instance, during a supposedly legitimate police operation, but there were witnesses who saw or were driven away after that person was shot point blank. I'd like to ask Commissioner Dambit first. Perhaps you can cite certain cases without identifying the personalities, diba? Pero yung in difficulty na hindi ganun kadali pag sinabi, pag may witness ka, punta na kayo sa police, that will be prosecuted.
Napaka-catch-22 naman yan eh. Diba? It's like catch-22. Punta kayo sa amin. Pero ang pinaghihinalaan din yung mga operatives ng police, even in police operations, diba? There is no confidence in the police right now kasi takot ang tao. Pagka pinapatay ang isang suspected drug addict or drug seller na small time, you know, maski sa burol, hindi pumupunta mga tao kasi takot. And then what is the effect on the family? They just leave their communities. They get displaced because they get ostracized. Ayaw silang lapitan ng mga tao kasi takot sila na yung mga taong lalapit sa kanila, takot na masangkot din, di ba? So there is no confidence that they will be safe because the perception is government, at least with the pronouncements, makikita mo naman eh, that they're saying good job. If 32, doon sa one time, big time, sasabihin ni Presidente, oh, if we can do this every day, okay. Di ba? Without realizing that many of the victims are not real, you know, pag suspected pa lang yan, di naman yan criminal pa. Even nga if you go through the justice process, eh, wala naman tayong death penalty, di ba? It's really a policy of instilling fear in the community. So how can you get the trust and confidence of victims' families to go to government to say, okay, help us, di ba? Okay. Wala eh.
Okay. Attorney Neri, this argument as well coming from those supporting the president that even if there have been thousands of killings, and if you go by the official government figures, I think at least 7,000 people killed during this bloody drug war. Pinag-uusapan pa lang natin dito since naging presidente si President Duterte, we're not even including yet yung mga napatay sa Davao from November 1, 2011 until 2016. Okay, doon lang muna tayo sa mga napatay under Duterte's drug war when he was already president. Honestly, we know the length of time in terms of prosecuting cases at the ICC. Talaga matagal yan, di ba? It takes time. Pero from a legal point of view, strictly speaking, is this an easy case to prosecute given the magnitude of evidence, the obvious pronouncements made by the president, especially in terms of proving that these killings were state-sponsored or that there was a direct connection between the president and the killings?
Yes. Before that, Christian, I'd like to add on to the commissioner. Yes, other than the fact that the people mistrust the police, pinatay ba naman yung kaanak mo sa harap mo, doon ka pa pupunta. There were also attempts by the families of the victims to get documents, but the police was not really cooperative. In fact, sabi nga after 5 years is the only time that they will submit these reports to the DOJ itself. So there was practically no serious investigation or prosecution in the last 5 years. Is this an open and shut case? Yes, definitely. The evidence here is very strong. The first evidence here is, of course, that we will, there are eyewitnesses. I mean, if there are thousands of killings all over the Philippines, there are hundreds of witnesses who saw this. And so that's very clear that these are police people rather than, you know, a group of crazy people killing from Aparito to Hulu. This is a systematic violation of extrajudicial killing using the same modus operandi. But other than the direct testimony and the video like Kian De Los Santos and all the other direct evidence, there is also a pattern. The first pattern is President Duterte has publicly vilified the victims. In fact, President Duterte, for a lawyer, seems to have forgotten that there are admissions against interest which can be used against him. He ordered kill, kill, kill. He ordered patayin nyo yan. And then he promises na, ako bahala sa inyo, I will pardon you, I will grant you immunity. That in legal parlance is a major, major evidence that can be used against him. So the victims before they were killed were publicly vilified by President Duterte, and he also ordered publicly the killings of not just the drug addicts and suspects, but lawyers and the activists. Second, the acts were committed brazenly in front of witnesses, in broad daylight, sometimes near police stations, as if the perpetrator was never afraid at all of being accosted by the police. So state-sponsored. Kasi it cannot be done by ordinary individuals or mga sindikato lang dyan, libo-libong pinapatay. Thirdly, complete lack of interest to seriously investigate or prosecute the case. So, I mean, pag ikaw ay ordinaryong crime lang, government will prosecute and investigate. But because this involves state agents, kaya 5 years later, ngayon palang ibigay sa DOJ yung reports, how can there be prosecution in the last 5 years if the DOJ doesn't even have the incident reports? Kaya sabi ko kanina, fatal admission yung ginawa nila na, oh, we will transfer 52 cases incident reports to you because that will be looked at by the ICC as an admission na there was no serious investigation or prosecution in the last 5 years.
Okay, finally, let's talk about the enablers. Of course, President Duterte is a target in terms of accountability at the ICC. But how about the enablers? Aside from him, who should be worried? Commissioner.
Well, actually, the prosecutor mentioned a few names there, no? Mentioned doon, I think, were two generals, no? General Bato and General Albayalde. But the prosecutor also mentioned regional PNP units, regional, provincial, and city. And the prosecutor did not go down to the municipality, but all the subordinates and perpetrators involved in the operations from the regional to the provincial and to the city level in the police could be included here. It also mentioned the military because there was a time that the military had joint operations with the PNP. So marami yan. In the same way that al-Bashir was indicted together with many of his subordinates, and even Bemba, for example, pati abogado ni Bemba was also charged in the ICC. So the perpetrators will also be included here. Kaya it will not just stop with President Duterte. The problem of the subordinates of President Duterte, he promised them immunity. He promised them pardon when he himself could not assure himself of protection. In fact, he wants to run for vice president because he is afraid that if he has no immunity, he will be go to jail. So pinangakuan mo sila na ikaw bahala sa kanila, ikaw mismo, hindi mo pala kayang protection ng sarili mo. This will be a lesson to all the subordinates. Do not believe your leader every time he orders you to commit human rights violations because when push comes to shove, he cannot and will not protect you from the justice that is being demanded by the victims.
Okay, Commissioner Dumpit.
Just to say also, no, enablers can fall under whoever aids, abets, assists. In one case yata, I'm not sure if it's Rwanda, no, maski yung mga radio commentators yata na ano din eh, na indirect eh, di ba? So yeah. Anyone who aids, abets, and assists. So
nag-promote ng drug killings.
Correct.
Without any regard to due process.
Just okay. Take a look at the body of the cases that have been decided by the ICC. Okay. Just to mention nga, even the media personalities nga were actually indicted.
Well, Commissioner Karen Dumpit and Attorney Nery Colmenares, thank you for joining us tonight.
Maraming salamat din po. Good evening.
Maraming salamat. Good evening.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. After the fact, we'll be right back.